Leadership isn't just about strategy. It's about connection. And that's what we explore here on the Tactical Empathy Podcast. I also explore it every week in my newsletter, The E in the Room. With more than 1,000 subscribers already learning how to communicate with confidence and lead with empathy, this is your chance to join in. Head on over to www.erinthorp.ca/resources right now and download a series of free leadership tools and get the newsletter delivered to your inbox. The conversation doesn't end here on the podcast, so make sure you're a part of it. Hey everyone, welcome back to Tactical Empathy. This is Erin. This is the show where we talk about what it really looks like to put empathy into practice in our leadership, in our lives, in our relationships, and in our communities, and in the way that we just show up for ourselves and each other. Today, we're going to continue talking about the power and risks of empathies. This is a series that I started last episode, and this one I think is going to be a little bit tender for me to record, not because I don't believe in it, but I think this is probably the most vulnerable and sort of true for me. I see myself in what we're going to talk about today a lot. And I know that there's a number of you listening that will also see yourselves in today. So if it feels a bit tender and a bit big, please do what you need to do to take care of yourself and know that it is okay to honor what you need, even if nobody else understands it. So in the last episode of the podcast and the first episode of this series on power and risks of empathy, we talked about how empathy can be misused in the workplace, how it can be weaponized or overextended or unintentionally used by leaders. And we talked a little bit about the difference between discernment and judgment, and a few ways that well-intentioned leaders might actually be using empathy in a harmful way. And today I want to turn the lens inward and look at the biggest risks when it comes to empathy, because what I have found is most often and what is true for me is that it's not what other people do with it, it's what I do with it. and what I mean by that is I think some of you may be listening to this thinking that I'm telling you to get more empathy or to use the muscle more and to build more empathic behaviors into your life and, you know, to care more, to understand more, to be curious. And I think that while that holds true for some of us, and certainly at the right time, it's true for all of us. But if you are like me and drawn to this podcast because my message resonates with you, then I think what we need to do is have a conversation that gets talked about the side of empathy that I don't think we talk enough about. And that's what what happens when you care too much, when you don't know where you end and someone else begins. And I didn't have a language or a name for this early in my career, probably up until about maybe 5 to 10 years ago. I didn't know what was happening. I just knew that, you know, and I see it kind of going around on Instagram, if you're a highly sensitive person, that's how I identified. I feel everything. And I remember, you know, sitting in these construction trailers on job sites around plywood tables in project meetings and weekly updates and issues meetings, really high pressure environments where every decision mattered, every dollar spent, every day we lost or gained really mattered. And I remembered how much all of us in that room cared, really cared about the outcome, about the product, about the building, about what we were doing and the impact that we were having. And at that time, I knew that I could read a room. I mean, I knew that I could feel what everyone else was feeling in the room. And I also knew that I probably didn't know that I had my own big feelings. I was sort of overwhelmed and consumed by who was frustrated and who was stressed and who was worried about something and who, you know, maybe had big questions and who wasn't speaking and who was dominating. And I didn't really question that. I just absorbed it. I just went, oh, I'm one of those people that just can read a room and I can sense what everybody else is doing. But what was really happening is I would sit there and I would take it in. And I've described it in the past as like putting, you know, all the issues and the problems and the feelings into my backpack, all the tension, all the pressure, all the urgencies. And that backpack would get really, really heavy. And it would fill up and it would build and build and build. And then if I had to speak, if it was, you know, my turn to contribute or somebody asked me a question, or God forbid, later on in my years, I had to actually lead the conversation and get to an outcome. When I wanted to access my words, what would happen is I would just have this eruption of emotion and I would cry. And I remember how absolutely embarrassing and frustrating that felt. On one hand, I was completely embarrassed because who cries in a construction trailer? Well, I can safely say I did it for about 15 years. And the frustration was because I couldn't access my words. Like, I knew I had something of value, of importance to share. And in my head, everything was clear, but it couldn't come out of my, I couldn't vocalize it. I couldn't get it from my head to my mouth. I knew what I wanted to say. I knew what needed to happen, but I couldn't access it. I was so overwhelmed with these emotions, mine and others. And at the time, I used to think there was something wrong with me. And I got feedback that there was something wrong with me, right? Get a grip, get a handle, park your emotions. And I think everybody thought at that point that all of these tears were all about me, that it really was my emotion that was coming out. And what I didn't understand then was that it wasn't just my emotions. I was carrying everybody else's and mine, and I didn't have the ability or the awareness to separate the two. I didn't realize they were getting all tangled up. And I want to pause here for a minute because I know that there are people listening, nodding along, maybe smiling or smirking or, you know, saying me too in the car as you drive to work, because I know there are listeners out there that do the same thing. You walk into a room, you instantly can read it. You feel everything. You can sense when something's off. You can sense the subtle shifts. You know when someone's not okay, even if they're putting on the facade of being okay. And here's the thing, somewhere along the line, we learned that things felt safer for us if we carried that load. That's really what this is. I was going to say that we decided it was our job to carry it, but we don't actually do that. What happens is our body says, we try it once, we carry it, we keep it all together. And our body feels safe. And so we learn over time that the best thing to do in these situations is to read the room, navigate all the emotions, all the unspoken truths, and all the big feelings and the silent treatments and the passive aggressive comments. And our bodies learn how to carry all of that until it can't anymore. And I want to say this really directly because I really think it matters. And I know some of you need to hear that. If you are taking on everyone else's emotions, if you over-identify as an empath, you are not managing your own emotional state and you are limiting your ability to lead. And I know that might sound really harsh and really direct. And even as I was putting this together, I'm like, ooh, I don't usually take these hard line stances in these podcasts. It's usually more about curiosity, but I have lived experience in this. And I know that if you identify as an empath and if you take on everyone else's emotions, you are limiting your capacity to lead, period. And it's not because you don't care. And it's not because, you know, you want to do better or bad. You just haven't fully understood what's happening yet. And I want to share another story as I was thinking of putting this podcast together in this episode. Again, speaking purely from, you know, personal experience here. And there was an article that was shared with me by a listener who, it was actually by the BBC. And it was sort of, you know, the dark side of empathy, and it's all about compassion fatigue, which is really what we're talking about here. And so I could get into, you know, the research and this article and all those things, but I felt like it was best to just share my personal experience on this, because this is one that I resonate deeply with. The other moment that really stands out for me is there was a season in my career where I was really traveling a lot, 15 to 18 days a month. I had three little kids, husband, dog, cat, you know, community commitments, sports, all the things. And really away from my friends and support network as well. And I just kept telling myself the same thing over and over again for a number of years. You know, next week I'll get ahead of it. Just push through. This weekend you'll get on top of things. You'll fill the fridge. You'll make some meals. You'll spend some time with the kids. It'll settle down. Things will get better. And until it didn't. And I remember this one day so vividly. It's like, I can take you right back to this exact moment. I just was on my way home from an airport. I had just landed back in Calgary. I was coming home from a work trip, and I was racing to get to the day home to pick up my kids. And I was so overwhelmed and so exhausted and so tapped out that on the way home, you know, all of these overwhelming thoughts about the weekend ahead and the next week and the things I had to wrap up and do and all the people that were depending on me. And I just started to cry. And it wasn't because I particularly was feeling big feelings about this, but I was completely overwhelmed. And I'm talking the kind of like ugly cry where you can't catch your breath. I had to pull the car over as I came into my community because I honestly couldn't see the road from the tears. And I couldn't physically keep driving. And I remember as I pulled to a stop on the side of the road, I'm like, there is no way this woman who's looking after my kids is going to give me my kids if I show up like this. Like, I am a basket case. And I had no idea what to do. I didn't know where to go. I didn't want to go home. I didn't want to go get the kids. I had no idea what to do. And I happened to have pulled over on a street where I have a friend, family friend who lived there. And I remember driving to her house, and I was hopeful that she was home with her kids. And she was, and she answered the door, and she took one look at me, and she's like, I don't know what's going on, but get in here. And she brought me in, and she gave me a glass of water, and we talked a little bit, and I started to calm down, and she sat with me. And it was right about this time that I was feeling somewhat put back together. And I was just about ready to leave to go get the kids, but her husband came home from work, and, you know, yeah, he's like, whoa, what's going on here? And so we kind of shared what was going on and how overwhelmed I was feeling. And at the time I thought it was the travel, you know, it's just, I'm away too much. I can't manage my life. And he said, well, if you need to be home more, I have a job posting out right now. It closes tomorrow. You'd be a great fit. Might be a little bit of a step back in your career, but maybe that's what you need right now. And so it gave me something to think about. I pulled myself together. I picked up the kids. I got home, brushed up the resume real quick, did up a cover letter, submitted the application for the job. And 2 weeks later, I had a new job, one where I could be home every night. And at the time I thought, man, this is going to be great. This is the problem. It was clearly the travel. Now I want to make it really clear. Like, I actually did not want to leave the job I was in. I absolutely loved it. I had a great leader. There was absolutely nothing wrong with the job I was in, except for the fact that I thought the problem was I was away too much. I thought it was a logistical issue. And what I didn't realize as I look back now, that was like masking the real truth of what was going on. And when I got home, all it did in that new job, the travel was removed, which was kind of masking the real problem, because now I was at home every night and I still felt the same way. Because here's the real truth. Folks, everywhere you go, there you are. It didn't matter what job I had. And I tell this to my clients all the time. You can change jobs, you can change careers, you can change people on your team. But the thing that you really need to look at is yourself. And it took me years to understand this. It didn't matter what job I was in, what environment was in. Hell, I am the boss right now of my own company, and I still overwhelm myself. It does not matter. These are my own challenges to work through, and they never were about the role or the job or the company or the leader. This was my learning to do. And if I didn't learn how to understand myself, manage my emotions, I was always going to end up in exactly the same place. Overwhelmed, emotionally tapped out and flooded, no capacity left for anyone else, including myself. And I think this is the part that I really, what fuels this passion behind this work for me is we think empathy means give more, feel more, be there more, understand more. But I think it really is build more capacity. And to build capacity, we have to build space for us. We have to actually take time to feel our fucking feelings. We have to regulate ourselves. We have to know what to do when we feel that rush of overwhelm or the triggering, you know, need to shut down or win inside a conversation. Empathy is not about how much you can feel. I think it's about how much you can hold. And that holding starts with yourself. I recently just came back from a trip, and every time I get on an airplane, I'm reminded of this because the flight attendant safety briefing talks about putting on your own oxygen mask before you help others. And it's fine when I'm traveling by myself. Sure, I'll put on my mask before I help my neighbor. But when I look across that row and it's my two little kids and then my husband and my next child across that row, I got to tell you, I don't think I would put my own mask on first. I'm pretty sure I would help my two kids, maybe even my husband if he was having problems, and my next child. And I'd probably be dead or out of oxygen by the time I got to them all. And so it constantly reminds me, you know, if you identify as an empath, I almost guarantee you that you are running near or close to empty, emotionally, mentally, physically, and you're still trying to show up for everyone else. And you wonder why you're exhausted. I did. I wondered why everything overwhelmed me, even the little things, and why I felt like I was just so often wanted to just like shut the world out, yet I had all these demands on me and I had nothing left to give. So today, instead of asking, how can I be more empathic? I want you to start asking, how do I build the capacity to be empathic right now? And maybe, do I have the capacity to practice empathy right now? And if the answer is no, it's not a failure. It's actually the first step to change. It is what we call awareness. And that awareness is what allows you to do something differently. So the simple task this week is to just start noticing. What are you feeling right now? Is it really yours, or did you pick it up from someone else? And what would it look like to care for someone without carrying the load for them? And sometimes you're going to be able to pick up that load and carry it. Most often you don't need to, even though we think we do. It's a learned behavior. But the shift is around learning to build your capacity and building those boundaries around empathy, not just learning to carry more. I hope that this has been insightful. I hope that it has, at least, at the very least, caused you to stop and think about how you approach your own leadership in your life, your self-leadership. And what I'd love most of all is just to hear if this has resonated with you. So please reach out in any one of our social channels, or you can find my email and website in the show notes where you're listening. In our next episode in this series, we're going to go one step further, and we're going to talk about what happens when empathy isn't just overextended unintentionally, but actually intentionally used to influence and manipulate. Again, this was a topic that was sent in by a listener and fellow colleague, so I'm excited to share that with you. you know, empathy is a very powerful tool, and anything powerful needs to be used with awareness and discernment. And I'm going to keep coming back to that. So again, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. If this resonated with you at all, please share with someone who you feel could use this message. Let me know by reaching out either on the socials or direct message. I really do read every message I get. your feedback and questions and encouragement is what keeps the show alive, to be honest. There are days I question whether or not this message needs to be out in the world. And usually I am pleasantly surprised on those days where I am questioning myself and this work the most are the days that I get your notes back and encouragement to keep going. So I do appreciate every single one. If you could take a moment to rate and review the show wherever you're listening to it, it does help us reach more leaders like you. And as always, please keep practicing your tactical empathy.